Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shemot. This week, we've moved the podcast to the El Mod site by Pardes. The move should be completely transparent for all of you who subscribe via iTunes. In the worst case, you can go to iTunes, search for Pardes, and resubscribe to the podcast, but you really should not need to do that at all. iTunes handles this kind of a change automatically. If you're not using iTunes, there is indeed a new podcast feed URL, and you can find it at the Elmod site, or also I've put it on the heading for this week's Pardes episode information at the old site, podcasts.pardesusa.org. This week, Shemot by Rabbi David Levenkreus. Rabbi David Levenkreus is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreus.
Thank you, Larry, and greetings to everybody from a very snowy Jerusalem. One of the things that I really, really love about my job at Pardes is that not only do I teach and run programs, but I also have the great pleasure of acting as a life coach to many of our students. The way that this happened is very interesting, I think. And that is, I've always been lucky to be one of those teachers who students have come to share their different issues with or to share different decisions that they have to make. And over the years, I hope I've been of assistance to some students. But at some point, I decided that I wanted to get a little better trained. And so I took a course in life coaching. Life coaching, or a number of courses, I should say, in life coaching. Life coaching, as many of you will know, is problem-solving oriented, forward-oriented, less interested in the roots of something, and more interested in creating systems that work. And indeed, it has improved invaluable in working with my students at Pardes. Because very, very often we don't have time for long protracted meetings, but really we need to get to usable solutions as soon as possible. And so I carried on doing this for many, many years. And the two different parts of my life, the teaching and the life coaching, stayed very, very much separate until one day I was meeting with a student and he presented me with a book that he'd been reading and said that the book was very, very meaningful to him and asked me if I would read it, which I did. It was an excellent book. And the next time we met, we spoke about it. And as we started discussing it, we suddenly honed in on the chapter that was most meaningful to him. We then honed in on the passage that was most meaningful to him. And before we knew it, we were discussing it in Chavruta the same way as we would be discussing any other text. And slowly in the process of Chavruta, we discovered the next steps for him to do. They just lovingly and beautifully came out in what he was, doing. And I said, aha, a light bulb went off. Maybe I have hit on something. Maybe it's possible to draw the two different parts of my life together. And maybe it's possible to use literature and other texts that are important to people in the life coaching process. And indeed, that is what I started doing. I've started working with students, and every Pardes student has the ability or to have three life coaching sessions with me. They bring me a text that they think speaks to their issue, and we then unpack the text, and from that, we get to next steps that they should be doing in their lives. And it works very, very beautifully, and I was very, very I felt very good when I saw in Aviva Zorenberg in one of her books, she actually speaks about how what really happens in learning is in the relationship between the person and the text. And of course, Buber and other people have written about this tremendously. And I think it's really, really powerful. I think literature has the ability to enrich our lives. I think that we are attracted to a great piece of literature or to a text in ways that we do not understand. We love it, but we're not able to express why we love it so much. When we start unpacking why we love it so much, perhaps there would be messages for us. In addition, a text can teach us that we're not alone, that other people have gone through the same experiences and we can learn from their experiences. I do this sometimes with secular texts, sometimes with Jewish texts. Always we learn a tremendous amount. What I'd like to share to you today is a case. Just that you should know, this case is very much a composite. I also have started a private practice in which I do this. And this case is a composite of different cases that have been put together to form one case. There's certainly no chance of people knowing who is behind this case. In addition, the three people who it's based upon each have been told about this and are okay with me sharing it with you today. So the story goes of somebody who came to me who had great difficulty making decisions. Every decision was becoming hard, whether it was deciding what sandwich to buy or which DVD to take out. But in addition to these small decisions, there were several large decisions that had to be made. And I said to the person, please bring me a text that speaks to the situation. And they brought me a text, the first one on your source sheet, from Melachim Aleph, 18:21, when Elijah is speaking to the people of Israel, Vayigash Eliyahu el kol ha'am v'yomar. And Elijah drew near to all the people and said, the background to what he's saying is that this was a time when it was very common for people to belong to more than one religion or to worship more than one gods. There are a lot of people, a lot of Jewish people, who are serving Baal and serving God at the same time, perhaps hedging their bets. And Elijah will have none of this. He says, Ad matay atem poschim al shtei ha'seifim? Until when do you jump between two different ideas? Im Adonai ha'Elohim, if God is God, l'chu acharav, go after him. V'im ha'Baal, and if Baal, l'chu acharav, go after him. V'lo anu ha'am oto davar. And the nation did not say anything. On the face of this, this is a very nice pluralistic option. Well, if God's your God, please join us. But if not, please feel free to go to Baal. Of course, this is not what Eliyahu really means. The Ima Baal L'chu Acherav is much more truncated. We know later on that those people who worship Baal are totally zapped. And we know, given that it's Elijah, that he is not really giving a free choice. We know which way he wants us to choose. In addition, I feel there's no understanding in this verse that identity can sometimes be hard. It can sometimes not be so clear what it is that people should choose. And I had this in my mind, and it's not surprising to me V'lo anu ha'am oto davar, and that the nations did not say anything. This is a hard, difficult choice that they've been putting in front of. It's not surprising to me that there was a feeling of paralysis, not unlike the paralysis of this client who came to see me, the not being able to choose between a sandwich and not being able to choose between a DVD is symptomatic of a general difficulty making decisions. So I said to the client, what do you think about this text? And they said, well, I don't really like this text. I don't really like this text. There's something too black and white. It's so hard to have to make these absolute difficult decisions. And I heard it, and I heard what they were saying, and I told them the following story. And that is that there was a man who came to work every day, and every single day he would open up his tin of sandwiches, he would look at his sandwich, say, ugh, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and he would throw them away. Finally, the people at work couldn't take this any longer, and they said to him, look, every single day you bring peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and you throw them away. Why don't you ask your wife to pack different sandwiches for you? At which the man looked at them and laughed, and he said, wife? He says, I pack my own sandwiches. In this little joke, I think, really expresses what many of us do, and that is of creating our own issues. And I said to this client, you know, you brought me this text, and yet it's a text you have difficulty with. I said, could it be that you're creating your own issues? And the person said, yes, that it wasn't their family or their surroundings that was saying to them that they should really make a decision. But but it was something very, very internal. There was something internal causing them to make, to feel as if they have to make an immediate decision. So I said, you know what? Next time we meet, come and bring me somebody to replace Elijah, a very, very common life coaching technique. Let's replace who's there with somebody more affirming, something better. And indeed, the client came back the next week. But being somebody who has difficulty making up their mind, they said, I was thinking of Moses, I was thinking of Joseph, but I'm not quite sure. So I said, well, let's look at both of them. And the insight that is about to come out has very little to do with me or my methodology or knowledge, and everything to do, as I said, is a composite with these three clients, two of whom had great facility in Tanakh, who really knew Tanakh much, much better than me, and one who was more oral law and literature oriented. And we spent some time looking at the story of Moses, the story of Joseph. Before we even start, they're two very interesting people to compare. Moses is a member of the Egyptian court who becomes a leader of the Israelites. Joseph is a member of Am Yisrael who becomes a leader in the Egyptian court. Moses takes Am Yisrael out of Egypt and to Israel. Yosef takes people from Eretz Israel to Mitzrayim. They really, really are in some ways opposites, in some ways very, very similar. They do similar things. They do it in the opposite direction. And what's fascinating is that these two great leaders of the Jewish people, both live in multiple cultures. So already it's different from the Melachim Aleph text, where we're being told to make this absolute choice. To be sure, both Joseph and Moses believed in God absolutely. Let's not go and imply anything else. But both of them were adept at living in different cultures. Already before we even start, we know that we're talking about people who had to make decisions which were perhaps not as black and white as what we saw in Melachim Aleph. Over a period of a few sessions of studying these two worthy leaders, we found something very, very interesting. And that is, their lives were framed in very, very different ways. If we look at Moshe in this week's parsha, Moshe knows immediately what he's told to do. Vata, lecha ve'eshlechacha el paro, ve'otze et ami b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. God tells Moses straight out, say, now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh and take my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses is told immediately at the beginning of his life, this is what your life is going to be. With Joseph, it's very, very different. Joseph doesn't know what his life is going to be. If we did it as a graph, it would literally be up and down. One minute the favorite's child, then in a pit, then in Potiphar's house, then the top of Potiphar's house, then back in a pit, then up again to becoming the leader of Egypt. It really is a zigzag and up and down all the time. Yosef has no idea of what his life means. He's reacting to life. Only at the end of his life, two parashas ago, when he meets his brothers, he says, "V'ata al tetzvu v'al yechar benechem." He says, "Don't be sad and don't let it trouble you, mecharetem oti heina, that you sold me to here." For it was God, to preserve life, that God sent me before you. Joseph says at the end of his life, I couldn't understand my life while it was happening. You would not have been able to make sense while it was happening. You did not know what was going on while it was happening. But it was to preserve life that God did this. In retrospect, my life and everything that happens makes total sense, which reminds me a lot of the Protestant theologian Kierkegaard, who said, life can only be understood backwards, but has to be lived forwards. So what we have here, dear listeners, is two very, very different models. Moses is the model who knows, of somebody who knows what his life is going to be. He's the person who has a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, an aim, something that we're very, very often told using business school models that this is what we should be doing. Yosef has something very, very different. Yosef looks at what life has to offer and then reacts according to the way that he thinks he should react. What's fascinating, of course, in another irony is that Moses has a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, but spends a lot of time wandering. Joseph, on the other hand, while his own life was one of ups and downs, was very, very adept at creating 7-year plans to save all of Egypt from famine. So again, we see that it's sophisticated. It's not as easy as either one or the other. So what I said to these different clients is to do two different things. In terms of Moses, I said they should think that at the end of their life, somebody is going to make a wonderful dinner in their honor. Somebody is going to make a celebration in their honor. Think about what you want said at that celebration and think about who will be giving the celebration. Write that all out. Come back to me and that'll give us an idea of your Moses side, what you want to do with your life. And second thing I said, make a list of all the opportunities that you have in your life at the moment without having any need to explain them or justify them. Cross out those that you don't want to take advantage of. Put a check next to those that you do and put a check next to those that you do. Decide how you want to react to them. Anyway, and that's what they went off, and I thought that the second one would be a good way to discuss their Joseph factor, how to relate to what life has to give them. Suffice to say that a few days later, the client came back to me and said to me, I'm sorry, I didn't do my homework, but I've made the decision. What they needed to be free of, I think, was this need to do things in a certain way and understand that things are more subtle, things are more fluid, one can use more than one methodology at the moment. As I say, this is a composite of different people, but I can tell you that all these people are doing absolutely fantastically today in whatever areas they have decided to, do. But there's more than that, people. There's more than that. Let's look at it at a textual basis. Both of these statements in Shmot 3:10 and Bereshit 45:5, both of them start with the word ve'ata, and now, whereas Melachim Aleph says has another time word, which is admatai. The admatai is followed by paralysis, doing nothing, whereas the ve'ata, both are followed by a journey. In Moses' case, to take the Jewish people to Eretz Israel. In Yosef's case, to take his family from Israel to Mitzrayim. Both these ve'atas are followed by a journey. And the verses are so similarly constructed, it's hard for me to believe that they aren't meant to comment on each other. As long as, ladies and gentlemen, as long as we are stuck poschim al shtei ha'seifim, as long as we are stuck between two different ideas, the answer will be v'lo anu ha'am oto davar. We will be enraged and paralysis. Sometimes one has to make a decision. It could be the right decision. It could be the wrong decision. But sometimes one has to make a decision. And once one makes a decision, it becomes v'ata, and now, and then one is ready to go on to the great journey that is life. Ladies and gentlemen, happy decision making, happy journeying, and may Moses and Joseph be with you wherever you may be. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levenkurs. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.